Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show. Spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, America's last best hope to make the internet safe for absolutely no one, two people who will do pretty much anything for a pizza, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
All right, all right, all right. We're back. This is Mike Edison. And Judy McGuire's not here today. She had too much Morrissey this week, I think. Against all of my advice, she went to go see the Morrissey show at Radio City. And I think the pictures of the slaughterhouse during the Meaty's murder segment were just too much for her. But Judy, if you're listening, I hope you get better soon. We have a great show today. It is our Cave Stomp Garage Rocktacular.
Wow.
With my old pal John Weiss, Mr. Cave Stomp himself, and his co-conspirator Tony Lo-Fi, and our very special guest, Dr. Eviler. Ooh. So what is all this Cave Stomp nonsense still going on after all these years, John?
It just doesn't go away.
It's the beat that won't stop. You can't kill it with a rake.
I'm telling you, the kids love it. The kids love it.
Well, I remember when, you know, I've known you for a long time, sort of haunting Midnight Records back in the day.
Uh-huh.
With our friend, or not friend, JD,
uh-huh.
over at Midnight. You were a Midnight Records band back in, I guess, the first Garage Rock Revival years, right, with the Vipers. I mean,
Yep. And I also worked for JD.
Right? Mm-hmm. As did I, and had that work out. Midnight has a really crazy reputation as being like the least fan-friendly record store of all time.
It's the least friendly, period. You know,
yeah, it was tough. You know, any other record store? I don't think you were in New York, Tony, at the time.
No,
you'd go in to Venus when Venus was on 8th Street, especially those
right.
cats, and they'd play you something. You know,
sure,
they'd play your record, what you wanted to hear, and JD was sort of like, "Get the fuck out of my store."
Yeah, it should be a hang. You know, you should be able to go there and stand around and listen and, you know, shoot the breeze.
Well, that's the old school model of a record store, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, when I worked at Wowsville on and off, when Alberto ran his record store by St. Mark's Place, if he was out of town, he'd just say, "Hey, you feel like running the store for a day?" Being a freelance writer such as I am, I can do these things. And he'd come back, you know, at the end of the day or the next day, and said, "How do you sell all those records?" I said, "Well, someone said, you know, can I help you?" They said yes, and then I'd play them the Sonics record, and then they would buy it.
Right.
Because if you just play them that record, if they don't have it, they're going to buy it. And he had never figured out that if you helped people and played them something.
Well, I will tell you, I mean, Bleecker Bob's McDougal Street, you know, ring a bell,
yeah.
right, when it was on McDougal.
Yeah.
And I used to go in there, and Bob was, you know, you never knew how he was going to treat you that day. But you'd walk in there and you'd go, "Hey, I've got something I think you might like." And then he would hold, and he goes, "You probably never heard of this." And then he would hold up something like, you know, the Ramones, like literally, you know, this would be like that day, you know.
Well, you know, I remember my fondest memories of record stores was when I was in high school, living in suburban New Jersey, and to get a punk rock record or a blues record, R&B record, anything weird at all,
yeah.
I mean, I really had to trip into New York and find, you know, some aging hippie who could give me some advice, because, you know, a Howlin' Wolf record was a pretty exotic artifact, you know, in 1980 mm-hmm. if you lived in suburban New Jersey, but at least in New York, well, now there's access to everything, but the record store itself was kind of a dying thing. So, Tony Lo-Fi, what's your part in all this? And what kind of name is Lo-Fi anyway? Is that Hungarian or Italian? What is that?
Yeah, I'm actually from Long Island. And, yeah, I think John just brought me back, brought me to Cave Stomp to fuck everything up.
That's it.
Isn't that my part?
I needed the Canadian point of view.
Well, the original Cave Stomp concept, I think, was to bring back, or to celebrate, anyway, mostly 60s bands and garage rock bands.
It really was. You know, I mean, whichever revival, you know, I was part of, there have been so many, we took it and continue to take it extremely seriously. I mean, you know, this music is like kind of a way of life. And what I wanted to do was I really wanted to see these bands. You know, I wanted to see the Sonics. I wanted to see, you know, the Monks. I wanted to see, you know, and I wanted to see them I wanted to see them do a show in the spirit of, you know, the music that I like, not the sort of updated, do it for the kid, you know, modernized way. We want to, and so the only way to do it was to get, you know, 1,000 strangers to help me pay for it.
And, well, what were the first bands that you did with Cave Stomp? So you say this music. What is this music?
Well, you know, it's garage, you know, as we know it, you know.
I honestly don't know that I know it, or that our listeners do. It's meant so many different things over the years. I think, I mean, there's definitely a very, you know, 1966 strain of the beast.
It's mid-60s underground music. You know, it's the stuff that wasn't, in the top 10. In some cases, it actually was. I mean, Question Mark and the Mysterians, 96 Tears, was the number one record, you know? So that still qualifies as garage, but mostly it was the stuff under the radar and the weird stuff, you know, just the strange off, you know, left to center stuff.
Yeah, like the Monks.
Like the Monks.
Well, yeah, the Monks, that was great. I'll talk about the Monks in a second, because they're definitely an odd band in themselves, their whole story and the way they came to music. But I mean, I always thought when you started out, there was a bit of a orthodoxy a little bit to the kind of bands that you were booking, because they definitely were the new bands anyway, if not, you know, and bands that, you know, you brought back, sometimes very successfully and sometimes with mixed results.
Right.
It was kind of a narrow worldview, I thought, to be honest with you.
I like to think of it as we specialized.
Okay. but now it's changed. I see the bands that you're booking now under the Cave Stomp moniker. It's more Catholic with a small C for our listeners.
It's really true. I mean, you know, I have to say this, and I'm not apologizing for it. When we first started doing it,
yeah, we don't do apologies on the Mike and Judy show.
That's
the save contrition for politics,
and we don't hug it out either, do we? When we first started doing it, you know, we were like fascistic about it. It was very staunch,
right.
You know. We were
fucking
like
fascist garage rock, fucking fascist.
We really were. You know, it had to be. The year ahead.
Taste bullies. That's what Mike Maraconda from The Ron Chance calls Tim Warren, a taste bully.
Yeah, and people, and you know, some people, you know, went with the program, really championed it, and sort of supported that idea, and others, you know, really rallied against it. And that's a good example. Like, for instance, the Raunch Hands
were not with the program.
No.
Well, we didn't like being lumped in with other quote-unquote 60s bands, because we never felt that. Sure, we drew our greatest influences from a lot of that music, but also from the 1950s, but also a lot of 1970s punk rock too, and we didn't really consider ourselves a garage band per se, at least by the time I got into the band, because, you know, we just played too well, frankly. It was too complex, too much going on. It was no longer the three-chord, you know, hitting boulders with sledgehammer kind of formula.
I remember Keith Strang from the Fleshtones and I having this conversation, and him saying to me, we're not a garage band. We're just an American rock and roll band.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, garage is sort of a state of mind. It's not a sound. It's a state of mind, you know. And in that case, maybe we are, but not in terms of what you'll hear.
Right. Well, I mean, I always felt that way about punk rock. I mean, punk rock was the attitude, because so many things qualify as punk rock, including a lot of music I don't like.
Right.
That's just not rock and roll.
Right.
You know, because to me, honestly, the further you get away from Chuck Berry, the least interested I am in your act.
Right.
You know, I like the roll part more than the rock part. You know, because any moron can rock. Metallica rocks, but they certainly don't roll.
Right.
I think, you know what? Let's listen to a song. Joe the Engineer, you got a song queued up. I think we're gonna hear. What did we hear first? The Swinging Neckbreakers? Was that what we had queued up?
Is it, the Flop?
Oh, yeah, the Flop by the Swinging Neckbreakers. Give everybody a good dose of the Cave Stomp sound. This is the Mike and Judy Show here on Heritage Radio Network.
Weeks since we've been back here. Fuck you. We've been, we went away for 5 weeks around this country. We've seen a lot of people doing the stand. And they didn't have the balls to do the flop. But it's great to be back here in New York City. And we're all going to flop. One, two, three, come on and do the flop. Come on, baby. I wanna see you flop now.
Right, we're back, the Mike and Judy Show. This is Mike Edison here with the Cave Stompers and Stompette, Dr. Evler. I'm sitting here with John Weiss and Tony Lo-Fi, who's fucked everything up with your worldview, allowing bands like the Chrome Cranks onto a Cave Stomp bill. What the fuck is up with that? Because certainly when John started this, that never would have been tolerated, that sort of punk rock noise.
Yeah, Tony, what'd you do?
I don't know. I think it was, you know, Canadian are polite and nice, so I just asked nicely.
That's true.
You said, yeah, why not?
That will always work.
Well, that's the, you know, again, we were talking about that whole heterodoxy of the Cave Stomp thing, and sometimes it works when you brought these bands back, and certainly the Sonics were probably the holy grail of the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
When they finally came back, when everybody wanted to see the Sonics.
Yeah, that was I'm not making this up. That was almost a 20-year effort to get them to do this. I mean, I would, this is before email, I would call Larry Paripa, the guitar player, you know, once a year. You know, I had his phone number from a friend, and, you know, I'd get in, get out, you know, really quick before wearing out my welcome. And after a while, he became a little bit more receptive, a little bit more. And it really took about, you know, started in the early 80s to try and get him to do it.
And there was money to be made. They ended up touring Europe and playing a lot of gigs.
They've never stopped. You know, right after us, They just hit the ground running, and they've never stopped.
Well, the Sonics' first couple of records are, you know, those things in life that really aren't underrated.
And they're
amazing.
And their live show's incredible. And I mean, if you look at Jerry, I mean, here's a guy with a heart transplant. Seriously, the dude's had a heart transplant.
That's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, try doing that with your own heart.
I'm well on my way, John. So the Sonics worked out good, and they sounded pretty good. They sounded like a garage band. When didn't it work? Because, you know, it's tough pulling these guys, you know, off the scrap heap of history, unfortunately. These guys that were just footnotes, some of them, they haven't been playing. I remember talking to one of the guys in the Monks, which I thought was a good show, by the way. I thought that was very cool. And the Monks had this crazy history.
Yeah.
A band that sang about hate and not love.
Right,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
When the Beatles were singing I Want to Hold Your Hand.
The anti-Beatles.
And they were great. And he just couldn't believe that the people wanted to hear this shit.
Right.
I mean, he was just stupefied. I was standing at the bar with him, the theater, the Westbeth Theater where it was.
Right.
Where we saw him. And he just couldn't believe that he was in New York. You know, he had gotten out of the trailer park to play a gig in front of like a room full of adoring fans.
Yeah. It's crazy stuff.
And that worked out pretty good. When didn't it work well?
It didn't work well when the Vipers played. No, it didn't work well.
Talk about the Vipers in a second.
It didn't work well when The Shadows of Night played.
GLORIA, Shadows of Night.
Yeah, you know.
Shadows of Night.
The singer, Jim Soames, a great vocalist then. You know, if you listen to the all that, you know, Dunwich stuff, he's really a hell of a singer. And his voice remained very much intact. but he kind of lost the philosophy. And I remember, and he said, well, you just talked to my bass player, and the bass player assured me that they understood that, you know, they're going to do this in the grand tradition of, and it's going to sound like the Year of Heaven, 1967, and it's going to be just what you want. And I said, yeah, man, because this audience is not... they're very unforgiving. If you get up there and you try and update it, and you try and be, you know, make it contemporary, you're gonna get ridden out on a rail very quickly here.
Leave the synth at home.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody. You know, no one's gonna fake it and say, oh, that was great. You're gonna clear the room, and everyone's gonna talk about it. And then they said, don't worry, and then they showed up, and he pulls his 5-string fretless bass out, and I immediately knew we were in for a tough time.
Oh, man.
And the funny thing is Lenny Kaye. Was at that show.
The world's nicest guy.
Indeed. And he comes up to me before, and he goes, this is an amazing moment. He goes, I think I've waited my whole life to hear, you know, the Shadows of Night do Gloria. You know what I mean? He goes, this is going to be amazing. You know, and here's Lenny Kaye, like, you know, acting like a fan.
Right. Well, Lenny, you know, obviously put together the first Nuggets compilation,
yeah.
And which is sort of the Bible for this whole thing.
Totally.
I mean, that's the blueprint right
yeah,
there.
Right there.
I mean, to pick the bands, you know, that you wanted to see, that's where it all came from.
Yeah.
And a few Pebbles records and a few other odds and ends falling around that we all sort of became hip to, I guess, around the same time. But the Nuggets thing was, that was it.
That was it. That kickstarted the whole thing. And then they got on stage and they just emptied the place, just stunk up the room.
Yeah, man, I remember a little off the garage rock thing, but, you know, in punk rock terms, going to see Sham 69 one time, and they'd come back to New York to play CBGBs, and they hadn't been in a million years, and all the kids were there to hear, right. You know, with the Kids Are United, and you know, these songs, and they sounded like Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
You know, they brought the synthesizers and turned into a pop band, because that was what they were trying to do, and the room was empty within 10 minutes. It was unbelievable. And I just stood up there, couldn't fucking believe why.
Well, I'll tell you this. This is funny.
No one wants to hear your new fucking songs, dude. That's why.
Well, yeah, that's right. But you know, and it's hard. It's very look at. Most of these guys have not been, you know, working musicians for many, many years.
Right.
And you know, and for them to do this, you know, for them to like, you know, regroup and to rehearse and then do all this, it's a big deal. A lot of them aren't in the right health. A lot of them aren't in the
it's
right.
It's like an AARP commercial. Come on,
yeah.
John, let's face it.
And you know, there's financial hurdles to you know, guys got to take a week off, you know, from their day gig to make this happen. And so there's a lot of challenges, you know, but when it works, it works. And of course, some of them are going concerns, and it's just another gig to them. But I mean, when it came time to do Question Mark and the Mysterians, like in 97, so long ago, but wow.
Because they've played so much since then, and they've been consistently excellent.
Yeah.
I mean, he's amazing, right?
Let me tell you, when we first started to put the show together, I was talking to Little Frank, the keyboard player, and he's like, oh man, he's like, you're gonna love the show, man. He goes, I use this Korg now, and it's got thunderclaps, and he goes, and like when we hit like smoke rings, and I bring in the thunder, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, bring in the thunder.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking back then when you started out, it was so fascist.
Yeah, man.
It's funny now. I find we're all getting older, and people are like willing to confess that they like corporate rock. Like some of the people I know back then who were so staunch in their ways of only liking this certain music that was made like between maybe 1964 and 1968,
yeah.
And now telling me what big Bruce Springsteen fans they are.
Right.
It's been a shift. I think that was probably what ruined punk rock too. Is when, you know, a guy in Black Sabbath, you know, Black Flag, cop that you like Pink Floyd. I mean, it was all over.
Yeah.
And when did that become legit? Just nodding your head. I just read, I just read Pete Townsend's book. And it's weird, you know, they were like one of the first punk rock bands to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, they
sure.
were singing My Generation.
No doubt.
You know, when you listen to it, though, for a guy who's had this long career, they also introduced the synthesizer.
Right.
They legitimized it as a rock instrument. So that's kind of where I lost interest, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, the theremin, you know.
Well, you know, I rock the theremin myself. And
I know you do.
It's, my favorite theremin song, my favorite Beach Boys theremin song is not Good Vibrations. It's Wild Honey.
Uh-huh.
That's the killer theremin track. So who's doing it now? Who are the best 60s revivalist bands going right now? Because that's sort of what we're talking about to some extent.
Do you mean bands in the spirit of or the original?
The spirit of, like the Hives, maybe?
I got to tell you what. You know, my interpretation is starting to relax. You know, it's starting to change a little bit.
You're growing up, John.
I am. It's taken a long time, but I'm getting there. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you want to call them, they're not a 60s revival band necessarily, you know, maybe it's a more 70s thing, but I mean, you know, locally speaking, I can't think of a better band than Born Loose. They're just a terrific band, you know, and to me that's becoming sort of contemporary garage for me, if that makes any sense.
Contemporary garage, well, yeah. Well, sure, you know, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mr. Lo-Fi, Senor Lo-Fi?
Yeah, if we, I mean, think about like real 60s band. Thing from here, the Electric Mist are pretty good.
Uh-huh, that's for sure.
That kind of thing.
That's and they're pretty sure. Straight on 60s, right?
Yeah,
they're taking all their cues from those old records.
And
I guess my question is, why would anybody want to do that, though? I mean, honestly, that's what always confused us on the Ron Chance. It was just so many of those bands were just a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, starting with the Fuzz Tones, for instance, it was too much of a nostalgia trip.
I could tell you why.
And like the Sex Pistols and all the punk rock bands of that era, you know, we wanted to crap on the scrap heap of history. We wanted to tear it down and build something new on what we had ruined, everything that had come before us.
I think I can tell you why. Because, you know, with mixed results, my band tried to do just that, was to do
the Vipers.
Yeah, try to be, you know, really, really precise.
Back when you could have the haircut.
That's right. Yeah, and the boots.
Yeah.
And because it's really simple. We did it because we liked it. We really liked that shit. We really, really liked it.
You know, I think you just got to wrestle it and make it your own. Dr. Eviler, what's going on over there?
Oh, nothing.
We haven't heard from you. It was your 21st birthday, I understand, yesterday.
Yeah, 21st times 2 minus 1.
Which still doesn't make you the youngest guest on the show, which again goes to Jake Manitoba, back when he was 7. So you're into the spirit, but why not? I mean, even then, you know, bands came in 1967, you guys weren't embracing Jimi Hendrix, you're embracing...
That's true.
The Sonics, you weren't embracing hippie rock.
No.
Or classic rock, what's now called classic rock,
right.
Anyway. You don't find that limiting at all?
You know, I think if no, and because again, it was just because, personally speaking, and I think I can say this for a lot of those bands, we just really liked that stuff a lot. I mean, if you listen to like the Telltale Hearts, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these guys really revered, you know, the Pretty Things and Yardbirds and you know and all that really, you know, really rough, tough, you know, hard edge Brit R&B and stuff from that era. And they looked it and they dressed it and they lived it and they played it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it if you're good at it.
Yeah.
If you're not good at it.
Well, you know, it's the singer, not the song. I mean,
yeah.
Me, I've always been about being right now.
Yeah.
Right fucking now. Hey, have you heard the new Stone single?
No.
No one else has heard it. Sucks. I mean, it's unbelievably bad. It doesn't even sound. It sounds like a Mick Jagger solo, something or other.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it's really pretty bad. So you're gonna go see them? I mean, talk about a '60s band that's still out there and playing. They do benefit from a great set list.
Yeah, they got a couple good songs.
They're not gonna play it well.
But you know, then you have bands who really do transcend that. I mean, you know, in the case of mine and some others who I won't need to mention because it's not a compliment. You know, we didn't transcend it. There are and a lot don't. And so, but there are some who actually do. Like, I think if you take a band like Liars,
okay,
they really transcend.
Tell you what, let's take a moment, listen to the Liars, Joe. We got a Liars track coming up live from Cave Stomp. Mm. Here we go, the Liars.
Stompers, you ready to stomp? God damn it, it's a torrent of talent at Cave Stomp 97. I want to introduce to you, before I introduce this band, Question Mark's downstairs, he's getting ready. From the Isle of Malta, Mr. Bill Tupper. Well, all I want to say is, yee yee, the Liars. They're gonna kick your ass, baby. Paul, Machine Gun, Bam Bam Bambi. Ricky, the Calm Keeper, Ace of the Base, Caraccio. Little Steven Wonder, Aquino. Jeff Rat Connolly, motherfucking Busybody, yeah, yeah, yeah. Woo!
And our seventh mark of the seventh day. Nobody walks in the street, there's nobody in town.
Southern Tide. We fired 7 shots. Georgie took 7 time. Yeah, fired 7 shots right there. They fired a hooks in the street. Yes, they fired in town. They fired a hooks in the street. Yes, they fired in town.
Well, all right, we're back. That was The Liars. And while we were listening to them, we were talking about it. They're definitely one of the bands that have transcended it. And have, I mean, Jeff Monoman is still out there kicking ass and a real survivor.
Yeah, he's his own worst influence at this point. Yeah.
Well, you know, as it should be. I mean, I've seen him waver from Johnny Thunders-like performances to, you know, things that are, you know, more like the Stooges, really just in full-out assault. Speaking of the Stooges, I thought, you know, their go-around with Ron Ashton when Ron was playing guitar mm-hmm. was one of the best things I'd ever seen. I just thought, how much better could they have been, you know, in 1969 than they were, you know, a few years ago when they did that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I saw that.
So we got some Cave Stomp shows going up, and Dr. Eveler, you're playing with the Kudzo and the Faggots, one of our favorites here on the Mike and Judy Show.
Right.
When's that happening?
I think we've got...
We're playing... Yeah. I'm the new bass player also.
Yeah, Tony's the new bass player.
And the Faggots.
He's amazing.
Wow. So, yeah, we're playing a Cave Stomp show on a boat. Another boat Cave Stomp show.
You're playing on a boat?
We're playing a boat.
Sorry, it's your Canadian.
Yeah, that's super racist. We're going to play with Mark Sultan.
We go there on the Mike and Judy show. Mark Sultan, who we love.
Yeah.
He's a guy that's certainly much in the spirit of it, but has made his own thing.
You bet.
It's going to be October 25th.
7th.
7th.
Yeah. October 27th, that's a busy week. October 27th with Mark Sultan and Kudzo. Where's that going to be?
Kudzo. It's going to be, what's the boat? I don't know.
Just
go down to the river, folks.
And jump on him. Go on to Facebook and do Cave Stomp or Rock Off, and you'll find it.
Is that we're going to find you on Cave Stomp on Facebook. And of course, we got a Halloween show coming up, which I'm thrilled to be doing another Cave Stomp show with my band, the Interstellar Rendezvous Band. And
at the Parkside Lounge.
The Parkside with D-Pop's Private World. And my friend Michael Chandler from the Ron Chans and his Lost Crusaders.
And Chris Sutch and the Savages.
That's going to be great.
Members
Halloween
of the Headless Horseman.
That's right. Also, one of those bands that stayed pretty strictly. You know, they didn't color outside the lines, those guys.
They really didn't.
See, that's my problem, John. I like to color outside the lines, you know? You guys have too many fucking rules.
Yeah, you know, purists. What are you going to do?
Yeah, purists. What are you going to do? Well, you know, times change. I guess the more they change, though, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
You know, I think you could be a purist and still, you know, reinvent it. I don't, you know, I think that's the idea.
I agree. I mean, that's what the Fleshtones did, I think.
The Fleshtones are one of the great American bands.
Yeah.
You know,
they reinvented it.
And, you know, and the Ramones, you know, even though they had trouble making, you know, new and exciting records over such a long career, because after 3 records, what were you going to do?
Right.
You know, but their live show remained very consistent. You know, I mean, I saw them up the end. You're looking at me like you don't agree, but
Are you kidding me?
There was like a fucking military operation. They were amazing.
Oh, I know this for a fact, but and I will say without and I'm not alone here. Not alone here. I don't believe you. They're to me the very best rock and roll band of all time.
No argument.
Yeah.
There's no argument. They're
in every single way.
Yeah. I mean, they've influenced, you know, how many bands that we don't like.
Yeah.
Wouldn't exist without the Ramones.
No, in every single way, they are the best band that ever existed.
I agree. They are the Neoplatonic ideal of what a rock band.
What he said.
Should be.
Yeah.
All right.
Can we talk about November 30th?
Let's talk about November 30th.
Yeah.
That's a long way away. Go for it.
That's Black from the Grave.
Oh my God, this is going to be the greatest thing of all time.
Yeah, this is at Warsaw.
Better pray that the black guy wins the election.
I know, I was thinking that. That might hurt ticket sales.
But maybe if he loses, maybe you can get him to join Andre and Blowfly. Andre, Blowfly, and Obama. I'd pay a nickel to see that.
It's Blowfly, Andre Williams and the Gold Stars, Barrence Whitfield and the Savages.
One of the great bands from that era, too. I worked the R&B side of the street too, not the garage side.
They were
very kind of loyal and pure, but boy, could they put on a show and raise the roof.
T. Valentine and Daddy Longlegs.
Mm-hmm.
And Guitar Lightning Lee and his Thunder Band.
Man, it's going to be one good night. So that's Black from the Grave.
Black from the Grave.
I don't know how you even think about these things, John. It's awesome. Well, once again, it's been the fastest half hour on the internet today for Judy McGuire. This is Mike Edison with John Weiss and Tony Lo-Fi from Cave Stomp and our good friend Dr. Eveler from Kudzu and the Faggots, one of our favorite bands. Don't forget to buy Judy McGuire's book, The Official Book of Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Lists, on sale everywhere. We'll see you guys next week. I think we're going to go out with the Ronchans. This is one a Ronchan song that does actually kind of hone close to the garage rock thing. I think we're definitely going to get the Sonics when we put this one down. This is Give the Devil His Due. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awali, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.